Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
What I have in mind for us to consider at this part of our worship today are intended to be of benefit to those of our young and also to the fathers and mothers of our young people. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." He went on to have a number of things to say, but that is the phrase upon which I want us to concentrate our thoughts today. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. I suggest to you, dear people, that this passage does present a challenge to the young, but it also is a plea that the Holy Spirit, through the inspired writer, is making to those who are relatively young in years. I don't think there'll be any debate among us at all, but youth is a very precious and beautiful time of life. And we appreciate youth. We should. It has a beauty and a purity about it that no other period of life does possess. Possibly sometimes those of us who are older might forget it is also a time where there are many threats, dangers, frustrations. A time when we're called upon to make decisions that will affect the entirety of the remainder of their life here upon this earth as well as eternity. But we do appreciate youth, and we sing songs about the land where we'll never grow old. Our life here upon this earth, brethren, is a life of preparation. We spend this life preparing for the life that is to come. And when we rightly look at the years of youth, those are years of preparation in a life of preparation. And it is a time that we must take advantage of because, as those who are older certainly will testify, youth is here today and it is gone tomorrow. And young men and women, youth is a time of decision. It's a time for making commitments. It's the time for you to determine the direction of your life. And I would insist that the primary appeal of the gospel is relevant to our young. And even though one in any stage of life can turn to the Lord, can find forgiveness, is it not true that it is to the youthful generation that we turn with the deepest emotions? And we have our highest hopes that they will be among the saved. And there are several reasons for that. One is, youth has a lifetime that they can give into the service of Almighty God. There need not be one day misspent. Young people, you need not suffer the scars of regret because of sin that can otherwise be your lot to have to bear in this life. And certainly it is a consolation when one comes toward the end of one's life to know that he was blessed to, early in life, come to the Lord and to have lived his life for the Lord as best as he could. Our text raises three questions. The text is to remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. The first question that is raised, when to remember the Creator? The second is, why? Remember the Creator. And the third, what does it mean to remember the Creator? That's my purpose for us to deal with these three questions. The text says plainly, to remember the Creator in the days of thy youth. Let's understand that with which we're dealing here. We're talking about that which is the age of accountability. We're talking about the time when a person becomes responsible before God, when they must understand that they are answerable to God for themselves, that they have a responsibility to God. At what point in the development of one's life does that come? The Bible does not give us this time in terms of so many birthday celebrations at a certain age. But we are driven to the conclusion that a time of accountability does come, because in Romans 14 and verse 12 we learn that we all shall give an account of himself to God. We will get answer. Young man, young woman, please be impressed with this fundamental truth. You will give answer to God, just as those who are older must do that. And the very fact that the Bible teaches that such is the case, we know that sometime or another, that period does come when you are going to be held responsible for what you do pertaining to the things of God. That time is not at the time of one's birth. That time is not during the days of one's infancy. And little children, they do not need to be saved because they are not lost. Jesus Christ taught that those that would enter his kingdom were to be like little children. The characteristics of and the nature of little children. We know that those in the kingdom are those who are the redeemed, who are the saved. If little children are lost, why would Jesus Christ want lost people to enter into a kingdom that would be like other lost people? Christ wants us to become as little children, which necessarily implies little children, therefore, are not among the lost. They are, at this time, until accountable, they are safe. And let me say here in passing, there is nothing in the Bible to sustain the idea that a child is born into this world depraved and doomed and damned. That the child is born into this world guilty of sin or guilty of the sins of foreparents. That is a false doctrine of man. And that false doctrine of man has given rise to a number of other false doctrines and false religious practices that we don't have time to go into here. But that doctrine is unreasonable, it is unscriptural, it is vicious, it makes God unjust, it makes God unfair, it places blame upon a helpless, innocent child. It is false. So the child that is not born into this world, depraved. But because of the passages that we read that we shall give an account, there does come a time when that sweet innocence of infancy and early childhood gives place to responsibility and accountability. Some have confused the idea, the fact that Jesus went to the temple at the age of 12, that is the age of accountability. Not so. That was a time, according to the Mosaic law, that the males of the Jews were to begin to attend to certain responsibilities that they had. It was a time when Jesus said, "Know you not, I must be about my Father's business." But 12 years of age is not necessarily the time when one is responsible. Hear me well now, and this is a most important and crucial point in our understanding. Accountability is not determined by one's age. There are some people that live many, many years, even into adulthood, and will never become accountable. And you'll understand why when I complete the thought. Accountability is determined by one's ability to know and understand and properly respond. Now, one may not know. One may not understand. One may not respond. But if he has the capacity and the ability to know and understand and respond, then they are accountable and answerable unto God. It's a matter of understanding, not a matter of how many years you might have lived here upon this earth. At what age does that come? Necessarily, it will vary with each individual. There have been those who have become very well aware. The early years of 8 or 9 or even slightly more of responsibility and have been taught and know and grasp the significance of the things that God would have them to do. There are others that it is later. But I want to assure you, a young person that has the capacity to go through the grades of school and to learn and to comprehend the concepts that are presented there has the mental capacity to know and to understand and respond. And when one reaches the age 10, 11, 12, or up into the teen years and has not yet obeyed the gospel, you're in dangerous water. Because you have the ability to understand. You have the ability to know. Fathers and mothers, we have an awesome responsibility to our children to make sure that the truth is presented to them. It's our responsibility, as well as that of the church, but primarily of fathers and mothers, to see to it that their young people understand why the plan of salvation, what is the plan of salvation, what God has done, what God expects. They need to understand and to know the significance of obedience, and that they have a responsibility before God, and that's our job. And we're to impress that upon them. They have to have the ability to do the things that the Lord says. They have to have the capacity to believe, to weigh the evidence and to know. They have to have sins of which they are guilty and for which to repent. They have to understand that we're saved by the blood of Christ, reaching that blood in baptism. No, they don't have to know everything. Whoever does. But there are those basic fundamental matters that they must comprehend. And it's our job to see to it that they are exposed to it and to work with them and impress upon them this information and that they should respond to it. No, we should not overly persuade nor pressure them into doing anything. It must come from their own conviction, but it's our job to plant that conviction in their heart. Sometimes people say, well, I'm afraid we're going to push our young people to obey the gospel too young. You need not be afraid of that. To obey the gospel, there must necessarily be understanding. You can't obey the gospel without understanding. Now, we might persuade our children to go through a form, but without understanding, they've only gone through a form. They haven't obeyed the gospel. And there is a danger that we might persuade them to go through a form rather than to really obey the gospel. But I want to tell you a greater danger, dear people. And that danger is that our young people do know and do understand, and we dissuade them from obeying the gospel. We tell them that they ought not. They ought to wait, to hold off when they are ready to obey the gospel. That first danger of persuading them to go through a form prematurely, we want to avoid that if we possibly can. But that eventually can be corrected because they can later learn and come to a knowledge But many times it happens when they are discouraged from obeying the gospel, knowing of their responsibility, they are so discouraged that they turn away from it and never obey the gospel. And I could cite to you people of my own acquaintance and association where I know that has happened. This matter of being a parent is not a trivial thing, is it? But you've got precious young people in your homes. And you're training them, and you're teaching them, and you're studying with them. And as they are capable, and you must constantly be observant of them, as they are capable of learning and knowing, it's up to you to see to it that they do learn and do know. And eventually lead them to obedience to the gospel of Christ. Why should the young remember their Creator? Why, there are a number of reasons. Here's a young people that a young person that's responsible before God. Are we not aware that the young die too? Why, we know that that's a commonplace occurrence. Death is no stranger to the bloom of youth. I had that very deeply impressed upon me when I first began to preach, because the very first funeral I ever had to preach was a 10-year-old boy. It was somewhat startling and shaking, you know, at that sort of age. You think, well, you're going to live forever. But death comes to the young as well as to those who are older. And they must stand before God in judgment. And if they're accountable, they need to be prepared. It's a very sad thing when a young person knows their duty is overtaken by disease or overtaken by accident, never having come to Jesus Christ, though they know they ought to have done it. Let me speak kindly. But I do want to impress upon some of you young people here today, because I've spoken to you myself. You are informed enough, aware enough, taught enough, and you're responsible to obey God. And yet, for some reason, you have seen fit to ignore the plea of Almighty God. Please, won't you think more soberly and seriously of that? Please, fathers and mothers, won't you bring this to the attention of your precious young? But there's another reason the young need to remember the Lord in the days of their youth, and that is because delay and postponement will make it harder for you to obey. When you repeatedly say no to something, it's easier to say no the next time. That's true concerning things that are wrong. You say no to them, it'll be easier next time for you to say no to it. But that's true also with coming to the Lord. The passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 talks about how that evil hardens the heart. The evil days come afterward. Evil hardens the heart of innocent, precious young people. You know, the devil does not mind, young person, you thinking about becoming a Christian. Just so long as he can keep on persuading you not to do it now. Just so long as he can persuade you to postpone it, because he knows, life shows, experience tells us, things happen. Situations coming into the lives of the people that will cause them to turn away. There have been young people who have been almost persuaded to obey the gospel, but for some reason or another they postponed it. They put it off. Other influences came into their lives and took them away from even that good desire that they once had in their life. It can happen to you. It will. It will. If you just continue to say no to your God. But look at the positive side. Look at the beneficial side. Remembering the Creator in the days of thy youth means that you have all the rest of your life to give to that which is high and holy and good and of God. Charles Spurgeon once illustrated the distinction between a young person coming to the Lord and an older person coming to the Lord in this way. He had two candles. One was a rather extended candle, one was rather short. He ignited the wicks of both and said nothing, but just there and just waited for the candles to burn down, and finally the short one extinguished itself, of course. And then he made the comment, that's the life of a person who waits till he's older in life. He just has just abbreviated time to give light into the world. But look at the youth. And young people, I said at the start, this passage of Scripture is a challenge to you. You live in a world that is desperate for the light of Jesus Christ. And you'll be impressed with that the longer that you live. And to give your life in the days of your youth means that you can spend a lifetime upholding what's pure and right and sacred and holy and righteous and beneficial and of eternal benefit to you and to all those round about you. You can give of your best to the Master. You can bring your enthusiasm, you can bring your youthful happiness, you can bring your youthful love, your vigor, and your zeal to the cause of Jesus Christ. You never give up anything that is of value to be a Christian, but you learn to fully appreciate your talents and to fully use your talents, and you can enjoy the richest, best life that a human being can live while here upon this earth. And realize that every young person someday will meet God in judgment. Why should you not desire from this point forward that your life be spent for the cause of God through Christ? What does it mean to remember the Creator? To remember doesn't mean that you've forgotten. It means to be mindful of God. Today, of course, we serve God under the authority of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Matthew 17 and verse 5. There is no way for anybody, anywhere, of any age to show honor and respect for God except by and through His Son, Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 23. You honor the Father, you honor the Son. You can't separate the two. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That means to remember God and be mindful of things of God is that you are to be in Christ. The same relationship that we're privileged to have because of Christ. That means to be in His church. That means to obey the gospel the way that we get into Christ and to be added to the body of the saved. That means to believe in Christ as the Son of God and to repent of sins and confess that faith and be baptized into Christ where you reach the soul cleansing blood of Christ. That's where God cleanses your soul, and then you are raised from that watery grave, a new creature in Christ, a Christian. And that means you have undertaken the responsibilities and then can enjoy all the blessings of being a Christian. You have the responsibility of giving your life to unselfishness and with the attitude of thanksgiving. You have the responsibility to live a life of honesty and truthfulness and purity and develop the characteristics of goodness and of kindness to be Christ-like in your life. That's what it means to remember God. God would not have told you, young people, to remember the Creator in the days of your youth except for the fact that you are capable of doing that. And God expects that of you. God is looking to you to do that. He didn't just idly, in a trivial fashion, pass along this instruction to you. When God speaks, He expects people to listen. And he expects people to obey him. And that means, young man, young lady, though you have not yet responded favorably to the invitation of Jesus Christ, God expects you to do it. And we want to plead with you, that's the way to go. And the Christian is the thing to be. I don't know that I can persuade you from the pulpit, not near so much as those who are near and dear to you can be persuasive to you, your father, your mother, and even other young people around you. But you need to remember this too, young people. God expects you to be a good example. God expects you to be one that others, when they follow, will go in the right direction. And you can start off by being a great example for others by being obedient to the gospel. Because by your coming, you might motivate the thinking and provoke appreciation for Jesus Christ in the heart of another, that they too would be persuaded to be a Christian. And you have already started to use a good influence for the cause of Christ. But when you say no, you're having an influence. And you're telling your other young people, both boys and girls around you, don't do it. I'm not. Don't you. And you're being negative toward that which is the most important of all in life. There's no better time than right now to become a Christian. As I've said before, the greatest deception that Satan can offer to the young is that you have plenty of time to obey the gospel. You may not. But why delay? There's only death in delay, condemnation in postponement. So today, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, if you know that His way is the way that you should live your life, if you will firmly resolve in your heart that you're going to turn from all evil and you're going to strive to walk in the ways of righteousness, will you not boldly and proudly confess your faith in Jesus as the Christ and be baptized into Christ to have that saved relationship with Him, and then give your life and live your life on that high plane that God calls us all to follow? One final note. There are fathers and mothers here. You love your young. You sacrifice for them. You work for them. You provide for them. But if they follow in your path, they'll go to hell. Because you haven't even come to the Lord yet yourself. You can't lead where you won't go, fathers and mothers. You're not only going to have to teach them, you're going to have to lead them by showing them that you respect God, you respect His Word, you're going to be obedient, you're going to be a Christian, and then you'll have a greater power of persuasion and influence over those precious young people of yours to come the way of the Lord. And that's your first item of business, I would persuade you. There may be one or more that would favorably respond to the invitation of Christ this morning. I know that in the sound of my voice there are those who should and ought. But it's a personal decision. It's not something that I can do either for you or to you or anyone else. It's a matter that you must decide. We only hope and pray and would persuade you decide the Lord's way.